The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number three of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, Sirius XM channel 158, however you take it us in. I am grateful, really am, never take it for granted. Y'all make these 3 hours so much fun for Kelly and me. Kelly is behind the glass. Bill Krakenberger standing by. Let me read some tweets first before we get to crack. The Mel Insiders, thoughts on Skubal 30-1 Cy Young. He returns Saturday. Yeah, case you missed it, Tarek Skubal, as reported by Underdog MLB. A.J. Hinch saying Tarek Skubal will start on Saturday for the Detroit Tigers. Matt Lawrence says, curious on this too, 30-1 on Skubal. Here's the deal. The Tigers are 28-40. They are 8.5 games out of the lead of the AL Central. Now, that's much shorter of a lead to make up ground now than it was, say, a week, 2 weeks ago, what have you. Tigers off to a great start in the month of June. And as predicted, the Cleveland Guardians are sort of coming back down to earth now, only 4 games above 500. It's actually the White Sox who lead the division by a half a game. But Detroit's 8.5 back. Long way to say, it's an interesting bet. But Detroit has to make a move of some kind here to even reduce that 8.5 dramatically as well between now and the trade deadline July 31st. If they do so, that's a hell of a bet. If they don't, he gone. And he could go to a National League team, and that bet could be rendered moot just like that. But it really is a team bet at this point. You are betting on the Detroit Tigers, in my opinion, on that one. This is from, let's see, O'Cleve TA, our buddy Cleve TA, has jumped in on the OG thing. Apparently, he has an OG MVP ticket as well. He says, I don't know how this is going to go. Considering Iguodala won it a decade ago, I feel like these voters have access to more data than ever before and would understand how impactful OG has been. But he also says, we will see. Yeah, none of us have any faith in the actual voters to actually see this correctly. And then No Emu Doug says, admitting to your strange mental abilities is the first step. 50 Deep explains it all about Earth, Wind, and Fire. Primetime Leon Sanders, yo, hey man, EWNF, greater than Gordon Lightfoot? I think not. Never forget the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Fellas, it's been good to know you. Even Crack would concur on that. Peace and love. And then we have one for Crack as we segue into Crack from Rocco Salperto, who says, Crack's favorite subject, poker tournament hold. While the WSOP, the World Series of Poker, is holding 20%, low-budget locals can play the daily tournaments at Red Rock. $100 buy-in and only $68 goes into the prize pool, and they also hit you up for dealer tips when you cash. Let's see if Crack has something to say about that. I know he's got something to say about a lot of stuff. Bill Krakenberger, Unscripted. Let's go. Oh, yeah. Billy?
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
So I just heard your last. That's hard to believe. Can you? Is it $100?
$100. He said $100 buy-in.
$100 buy-in.
Only $68 goes into the prize pool.
$32 gets taken out. 32% rake.
And they want tips. The dealers.
And they want tips after.
Yeah.
The tip is are taking a percentage. I don't have to even look. They are taking a percentage for the dealers of the tips out of the prize pool already. But just to hear that a poker tournament's 32%, it's just, you know, as soon as you get out of your car, they should just hit you with a bowling pin on top of the head and just leave you where you lie.
A bowling pin.
Yeah.
Specifically, yes.
That's unbelievable. Oh, I can't believe that. That's ridiculous. It really is now.
And you had the nerve to cash. Where's our money? Give me a tip.
In the World Series, yes, I did my podcast from there yesterday, and we are filming podcast over there with John Orlando and a couple of guests, a couple of the poker players.
How's John doing? Is he in it?
Oh, yeah, he's in it. Oh, yeah, he's going through money, faster than a drunk at the strip club.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah. No, he has been sponsored. He had a couple sponsors. Pink Cherry, I think, is one of them. And they just threw a bunch of money at him to go around finding girls to enter in the $1,000 ladies event. So he had to pick 25 girls. And
Tough gig. Yeah.
And then he had to enter his own contest and stuff. And I've been watching his daily vlog, and I was just ripping him up. I was ripping him up because I just can't believe the way he plays. But then again, if you're looking for content, not just real good playing, Like, he goes all in blind. He goes all in. Instead of just, you know, betting 3, 4X the blind, he goes all in. Like, so many different hands. He's just, I've never seen this kind of unorthodox play ever. And he was trying to tell me that that's not the way he's going to play. In the bigger tournaments, he's just trying to get content. So you're lucky if you land at John Orlando's table. He rebought in one tournament 11 times. I mean, it's insane. A $500 tournament, he spent like almost $6,000 in it.
So is your podcast with him, has it devolved into just you just blasting him for the way he plays pretty much?
Pretty much so. But yeah. Also, whoever commented there on the rake in the beginning that said, yes, I'm against these 21% tournaments. I just look, I said, I know I went, and I don't want to be a broken record. I talked about this last week, how Benny Binion didn't even charge anything at the beginning for the big tournaments. And then the main event, even it was like, you know, 5%, 8%. The Wynn daily tournaments, the Wynn has a lot of tournaments over there. They're less than 10% rake. I just don't understand why they have to have 20% rake on a tournament. And John did, he did it a couple different times. He went around to the table. He has a vlog, which means he can put, he got a permission from the World Series to do this. He has a little stick at the table. He talks to all the players at his table. So he'll go around to, you know, it's eight player, I guess it's nine per table. So he'll go around to the other eight players, table after table after table. Nobody knew the rake. They had no idea. They just wanted to play.
And they don't care.
They don't care.
They just want to play.
Yeah, table. I mean, he's done it for weeks and weeks and weeks. And, you know, some guys made some points, though, that it's a 3 or 4 hour, 5 hour, 8 hour tournament. They get to sit in the casino. It saves them more money than playing slot machines.
Yes.
They have a point there.
I always bring that up with parlays, too, right?
Okay.
That the part that the correctly angry anti-parlay people, right, who are trying to dispense good advice, they do miss that point, which is, yeah, but you know, those people who have a parlay that lives for a full day,
right,
they're probably preventing themselves from losing more elsewhere.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it does. Yeah. It does. And I don't mean to break something here. I just see a text from Fez that says, go. And what can that be on? Hold on. Go.
He's mimicking. He loves this. The right angle sports methodology of releasing a play.
I've seen go with fire on it. Yeah. It was a major. Fez, I'm giving away the information here. Yeah. Major League Baseball prop setup. Cubs, Colorado. Oh, hits, runs, and errors over 30 and a half.
Cubs, Colorado.
Go.
Go. This is is not a drill. Go.
All I seen was go.
Yeah. He loves the salami, too.
Yeah.
That kid.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Fez and his son, little Johnny, listening in today.
But the broader point, because you have made this point before, but I think it's a worthwhile point, which is, again, you and I here, you know, not just us, but everybody try to dispense, you know, as sound gambling advice as you can, right? And you hope that it lands correctly and helps some people.
Right.
But as we always say, the truth is that, I don't know what the percentage is, but most people are just going to do what they do. Most people are just wanting the entertainment of it all.
Yes.
Listen, and it also extends into other sort of tentacles, right? Polymarket, I just saw, hired Amanda Vance to be like their spokesperson. And
okay.
I just thought to myself on the way, and by the way, spent a day with Amanda Vance, sweet as could be.
Oh.
But she's one of these influencers. She's the one who's like, oh, Vegas made a call. She's like, the whole day she was like, oh, Vegas made a call to the Cowboys bench. They told Brandon Aubrey to miss that field goal. She's one of these people. But that's always going to win out because they're like, oh, cute girl. I'd rather listen to her than actual smart advice from anybody.
Right. You
know? No,
right.
And good for her, by the way. And,
yeah.
Hey.
I don't know who that even is,
yeah.
But so you had her on the show?
No. We were going to do an HBO doc, which
uh-huh.
never came to light. But I spent a day with her and then the dude, I've told the story before, a dude who ended up in jail. He was a big talker. Oh, I bet $1 million on the Saints. I was like, really? Who took that bet from you? Oh, it's like everybody does. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And then she was the one also when Brandon Aubrey missed a kick for the Cowboys against the Giants, she said Vegas made the call, and I asked her to walk me through it, right? And she said, oh, yeah, they call the sidelines, and then they call it in, and I'm just like, oh, okay.
But she's joking, though.
She's not joking. She's not joking. That's the thing. That's what I want to get.
I wouldn't hire her to mop a floor.
That's what I mean. I'm not trying
to. I thought it was just being entertaining.
No, I'm not trying to. And that's the thing. Is she's as sweet as could be, and I'm sure she's a lovely person. But you're always going to be up against that. And it's just like, you just have to raise your
hand. I mean, in the NFL, she's saying that things are, they're getting phone calls.
Oh, by
I
way,
thought it was
they,
just being entertaining.
No, they agreed with each other. They were like ganging up on me. Like I was the idiot.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to get that.
Yeah.
We're going to get that now that you have certain idiots, Rozier. You have the certain idiots and stuff that have taken money to set themselves up in situations where just to get their entourage off them. No. And that's what I, after other stories coming out, reading into it, and talking to some people that are very much in the know, lots of times when these situations come up and these players are, they'll tell their entourage to, you know, hey, bet me under tonight. I'm not going to play. My leg's not hurt. I'm taking myself out. Bet under on my points or my props or, you know, whatever. Not even thinking how bad that is for the end. It just gets them off them and gets them some money instead of them having to give money out of their pocket. Even though you got guys that are making, you know, $300,000 a week that are involved in doing that. How stupid can you be making $15, $20, $25 million a year? And now that makes our job harder, too, because it's actually it's no longer a rumor. It's a proven fact that it happened. These guys are taking, you know, even though that person is taking a non-guilty plea, you know, there's some rats in the case. There's some rats in these cases that are involved in the betting and have their own little agendas there. So, and we see it now with other colleges and stuff. There's a lot of people on the take that are professional sports people, whether it's college or pro, and that makes our job harder because now everyone that bets, you know, not everyone, but the public that bets now uses that three-letter word more loosely. Fix. It was fixed. You seen what happened?
Yeah.
It was fixed.
Yeah.
This girl saying that make the call or whatever she said.
Yeah, idiot. And because it's actually revealed in some cases that there is some shenanigans happening, we have to sort of acknowledge that. Well, you know what? We're not 100% right anymore.
Yep.
Bill Krakenberg, at Bill Krakenberg with a K on Twitter, coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Me?
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Whether you are tuned into basketball or hockey, the action is nonstop, and Poly Market lets you cash out before the final buzzer. Unlike your typical sportsbook where you're locked in the second you place your bet, Poly Market gives you control of your position the whole way through. See the game shifting? You can lock in your edge early. Get started with a free $50 using promo code BUZZ at Poly Market. That's B-U-Z-Z. Trading not available in all jurisdictions. Check local regulations before trading. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Gil Alexander, Bill Krakenberger, Unscripted with the Crackman. Let's take a live look, by the way, at Poly Market, just for giggles here, on the NBA MVP market, where you will see, we'll actually listen. This is live. This is actually in real time. Jalen Brunson, 53% to win the NBA Finals MVP. There's OG Anunoby at 27%. Victor Wembanyama of the Spurs at 17%. If you convert those into our standard language, right, into sports bet, was it sports mode they call it over there at Poly Market? Jalen Brunson effectively is minus 118. OG Anunoby's plus 253. Wemby plus 433. If the Spurs are to come back to win the series, he would be in the catbird seat, obviously. So there you go. And that's moving as we speak on screen at Poly Market. Just one of the prediction markets that are out there. How much prediction market betting are you doing?
Zero.
Zero.
I live in Nevada.
That's right, you do.
Live in Nevada. They have ruled against it. But I wanted to know a couple things there. So what kind of liquidity is on there, and who is seeding these like Poly Markets and Kalshis? In other words, is it it's individuals that are seeding, or is it I know in New Jersey when they opened up these per head, peer-to-peer, they had the companies were actually doing some of the seeding. So I don't know if there's liquidity on there like there would be at a sports book where you can bet on, you know, pretty much on NBA. Like that, even though it's a prop bet, you could probably get down a lot of money on that because it's a very popular bet.
Yeah.
I say a lot. You know, you can get down thousands.
They show the liquidity on all their markets. Like the NFL season, the liquidity on a Monday night football game
Yes.
is insanity. It's just insanity. But you're
I heard that.
To your point, there are some prediction markets. Not all market makers are created equally, right? Some are more Robin Hood Wall Street driven than others. So you kind of have to know who you're up against also in some of these as well. But yes, you will find your niche. I know Todd swears by he's on Novig a lot.
Yep.
Profit X is in the mix there, as well as Kalshi. So all of that.
Are these all everyone you just mentioned is all legal sites in the United States?
Almost 2 million, I'm told, liquidity right above Brunson's name there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a ton.
Yes.
Now that's the reason why these places like Polymarket and Kalshi are worth so much more. I can go to the counter behind me right here at Circa and probably get a dime down.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the more places that you can get a bigger bet.
That's right.
And you tell me there's millions at your disposal there.
The world has moved on, Billy.
Wow.
It really has.
Wow.
And Nevada is its own ecosystem. They, you know, this has always been their game.
Right.
And depending on what your viewpoint on is, it's like, okay, well, listen, on the one hand, you understand why, because they've had to pay these exorbitant, you know, licensing fees.
Right.
And on the one hand, you understand why they're miffed by all of this. And on the other hand, the world moves on. And so maybe the head in the sand approach isn't the way to go.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I was told the other night on the, not last night's game, the night before, the game before on the Knicks when they lost at home, I was told there was millions and millions on both sides available to bet at game time. But the person that told me, it said the juice wasn't as good as you know, you could have went on your screen, you know, your odd screen, and you could have found better juice on, you know, the sides. And I was like, well, how can that be? I thought the whole idea
that can happen sometimes. Yeah.
Wow. Well, it was at this, you know, let's say this 5 million liquidity on each side had -111 on both sides, and I didn't even know that happened on Kalshi. I thought everything was -$1.03, $1.04, $1.02. You know, plus their percentage. So it kind of surprised me. But I don't travel back to New Jersey and New York that often now anymore. Between my parents not being there, of course, and then one of my best friends passed away, where I always was at his place in Atlantic City. There's really no reason. And Atlantic City itself was a great betting place for years, which now it's not. So New Jersey is not. So many different factors are into the why I don't travel anymore back there. But Nevada is still very strong on, you know, keeping out anyone else except who they want here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've talked about this multiple times on the show. You know, you're all just our guests.
Yep.
So, and they have the judges here that are agreeing with the gaming boards, and the companies are strong here too. And listen, I don't want Circa, Westgate, South Point. They're my home courts. I don't want them to fail either. I want people to come here.
There's no notion that they will fail. There will always be a place in the ecosystem for it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And there's an experience when you come here. Just now, I met a guy outside from Illinois, and he was from Indiana. Oh, Missouri. Oh, I'm sorry, St. Louis, Missouri. Because he was telling me how he has to go over to different borders to bet. Where he lives in St. Louis, you can't bet horses legally. I was like, what? He goes, we have all the sports books here. Where you can't bet horses.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that.
They all got their own rules, man.
So he has to go over the border to bet horses. And I thought that was kind of interesting. But yet he came here, and this was like, wow, this is unbelievable. First time here. You're coming here for that experience. Now, I don't know. I'll give you a perfect example. Right now, they have, if you're coming to Vegas, I think it is it now. I hope I'm not putting it out there if it's not. They had a great deal here for like two nights hotel outside the pool and everything for like a couple $100 all in.
Derek does that from time to time. Yeah.
At Circa?
It's an amazing deal.
Unbelievable deal.
It's an amazing deal.
Unbelievable deal. I mean, anywhere on the strip, you're not going to get a deal like that. Even though other places are giving you some deals now. There is some built-in together packages, but this is not our mothers and fathers and grandparents Las Vegas, that's for sure.
Yeah. You know? As we've talked about at dinner a few times with some of the old schoolers. What Nifty, your buddy and my buddy now, who was Frank Sinatra's assistant, and Willie, his best friend, Jilly's son.
That was Jilly. Jilly Rizzo was Frank Sinatra's best friend.
Yeah.
Number one guy.
But the stories they tell, and it's just, it's amazing.
I just like listening.
Me too.
He brought the photo album last night. Jilly's son, Willie, brought the photo album last, a photo album from his garage last night. And just seen all the pictures. Real photos that are, you know, when you have a Polaroid, they come right out. I guess that Polaroid, is that what it's called? When you take a photo, it used to come right out?
Polaroids.
They were Polaroids of dinner with Frank Sinatra at some local place. And Frank was there. Jilly was there. The opening act was there. Just really cool. You could see the good times that they had.
What would they think of it now?
Of this Vegas here, the way it is?
Yes.
It's just so much more of a business than when... And you're not going to say the boys ran it, but these guys mentioned constantly the different heads of the different casinos back then. And they know. They were here. They were here since the 1971. I think Willie was here before that. So, and they were around Sinatra. So you understand these guys that were the head of the casinos, they got to meet them all. They got to meet the Sid Wymans, and they met these guys, and it seemed like to me the three or four they mentioned were all Jewish guys that were running the casinos for the boys back home. Now, when I say that is like Fat Tony ran Caesars, and the guy that was the head of Caesars at the time. Every month, he had to give Tony his bag with $200,000 in it. I just found this out. Like, I didn't know. I knew that. Mm-hmm. I knew because a friend of mine was literally sent for counting cards too many times. I think I talked about it on the show. But I knew that that Tony had Caesars in his pocket. But I didn't know till last night. He said, oh, yeah, that bag every month, $200,000. $200,000 doesn't sound like a lot of money. I know it doesn't. But $200,000 in the early 70s.
Yeah.
Just to get that loan, or a Caesar's Palace wouldn't be. There's a great free documentary on YouTube on Jay Sarno. It's a fantastic documentary on YouTube. It's free. I thought it was one. I didn't know all this stuff about him.
He's the guy that built Caesars.
He built Caesars, but
I drive by Jay Sarno Way every morning.
Jay Sarno Way. Yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm. But he built it with the mob's permission.
Yeah.
And or the mob got a piece of it after. I forget how the timeline went, but and Jay was a gambler. I believe he died at the craps table gambling in one of the other casinos at a pretty young age. And these guys knew Jay
at the craps table.
Yeah,
died doing what he loved.
He was a gambler at heart. Yeah. But he had Caesars.
By the way, I enjoy how much knowledge you have of that era so much. It is incredible how detailed and how your memory on that kind of stuff. And you actually said something last night. I'm not sure if you even want me to repeat, but you said you almost wish you were born in that era.
No, what I actually said was I wish I was born in 1930 and I was dead already. That would have been fine with me.
That's the correct quote.
Yeah,
yes.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But I would have enjoyed the 50s and the 60s and the doo-wop era music. And then I would have been out of all the ridiculous woke things that happened.
Oh, well, there's that. More with Bill on the other side, coming back on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Championship season is here, and VSiN Pro can help you bet it smarter for a limited time, and I do mean limited. Lock in early bird pricing on our football season special for just $175. The sooner you sign up, the more value you get with full access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl, NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Final, World Cup, plus MLB all summer long. It's all in there. You also get daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. And on June 22nd, 11 days from now, we will release our NFL betting guide to attack futures, win totals, division races, and the full season ahead. Adam Burke and company doing a spectacular job with that, as always. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate it from everybody. This is from, we'll start with Jesse Welch. Now we got to get Bill Krakenberger's best World Cup bet.
Oh, okay.
You betting the World Cup at all?
Jesse, I'll DM you if I have something on World Cup, which I had a pretty sharp bookmaker that I respect. You know, I interview the head of BetMGM Risk on Sundays on my Fox Sports radio show, and they're in a situation that's very unusual with a lot of things they lose no matter what on this NBA championship. They need an OKC to win. So they get destroyed on the Knicks. I say destroyed, like, you know, they get hurt on the Knicks for like a seven-figure hit.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also lose, though, no matter what, who wins. So it's interesting how they would rather have – it's not interesting, it's common sense – how they'd rather have the series go seven games. They can get some volume, get some money back, no matter what. But what he said was he didn't expect, and I don't think they did expect, was all the public Nick money that came in, even at the start of the series. Like, even if they had no dog in the fight with the futures, they'd be rooting for the Spurs in the series, mm-hmm. he said. They really get hurt for a healthy figure. You know,
that's Knicks love on the East Coast, and
they're legal in New York and New Jersey. They're not legal in Texas. Like, no one is not legal, so that hurt them a lot. And just the public was on the Knicks here, as far as I know.
They love the rest.
The public was on the Knicks here.
Knicks were on an 11-game winning streak headed into the finals. Wow. Brendan, Mitch Johnson equals fraud, he says. John Balduzzi, I'd love to imagine that when Vegas makes the call, it's the leprechaun from the old O'Shea's dialing. Henry Hill, sounds like you guys are describing the movie Casino back in the day as well, which never gets old, by the way. Great stories.
That's right.
We looked at the NBA Finals MVP just briefly on Polymarket. Can we just tap into Conn Smythe for a second, just to give hockey equal time here? Mitch Marner of the Vegas Golden Knights, no surprise, with the series knotted up at two games apiece. He had the fastest hat trick in Stanley Cup Final history. Yep. 6 minutes and 10 seconds it took him to get the hattie, and 4 points in the second period alone in game number three. So if the Golden Knights are to win this, Mitch Marner, it's heavily weighted in the same way it is for Wembanyama, with the Spurs even more so here for Marner. 55% is what his number is right now at Polymarket. It's -122 in our parlance, our sportsbook parlance. Taylor Hall of the Hurricanes is next at 16%, because it could be any number of members of the Hurricanes. 16% is +525. In other words, if you wanted to wager on Taylor Hall. By the way, there's nothing but Hurricanes from Marner on down to 2%. It's nothing but Hurricanes. 2%, the next Vegas Golden Knight after Marner is Jack Eichel at 2%. That is 49-1. So in other words, it's just learning, you know, percentages as opposed to the language that we've all dealt with for all these years. And to answer your question about volume here, Bill, over 2 million was the case in the NBA Finals MVP, highlighted there in the left, which we just did, 700,000 in Conn Smythe.
Let me ask you, I didn't look on that screen. I'm trying to zoom in here. Where do you see like the +525? Are you doing the conversion?
We're just doing the conversion. Okay. You have to switch the mode to see it.
I got to be real blunt.
Yeah.
People don't want to do that. You know, the Joe public doesn't want to do that. They want to just click on and go right.
They can if they want.
But there are some good things here. If you're a value guy, there are certain situations where there are value on doing that on any of these type of markets. So if you're serious, and I'll say it again, serious to me is $100. You know, if you're doing for a sawbug, you're doing for $10 or $20, all right, just have some fun, I guess. But if you're serious, you want to invest in this, you know, if it's legal in your jurisdiction.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting because we're so immersed in sports betting plus, minus, and all that. But think about that. When you first learned about that language, right? Go back to 30 years ago, however long ago, when you first started sports betting.
Right.
And the first time you saw minuses and pluses, that was a whole different language then, too, right?
-575.
What does this even mean, right?
Yeah.
And then you learned, and then it became so second nature. And there's a whole world now that is being reared on prediction markets where
juice on game. It was never -3, -20. It was 3 or 3.5.
Yeah.
You know, when I first started, there was never juice, you know, 40, 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Fairway Fred sent me a text. Kalshi raised $1 billion with $8 billion valuation. Waiting for them to go public with their shares. I like Kalshi as you can cash out at any time during your wager at current odds, not a sportsbook cash out. Whatever that means, I'm just going to pass it along to the public a little bit. I'm sure that Polymarket is the same thing. I have another text from someone, and now this is the second ticket agency. The first guy owned a ticket agency. This guy just has season tickets. I'm going to read this to you from my buddy Ian here. Question for you. What's the best way to hedge this? My friend has two tickets. he can sell to Game 6 for $30,000 each. Wow, am I
reading
that
right?
We
talking NBA or NHL?
NBA.
Here? NBA.
For $30,000 each.
Yeah.
He should bet the Knicks at plus 170 so that he locks in a profit correctly. Ideally, how much should he bet on the Knicks to optimize that profit? I was thinking 20K to win 34,000. That way he either profits 40,000 if the Knicks lose or 34,000 if the Knicks win. You may have answered your own question
yeah,
there, Ian.
Yeah.
But now this is the second person. I went to the I almost said the Oakland A's game. It's going to be the Las Vegas Athletics, right?
Mm-hmm.
I went there to the game the other night, opening night. It was fantastic. Great atmosphere. It's going to do so well here. But I went to that game there, and a ticket agent gave me a ticket to the suite. A buddy of mine, I call him Bobby Tickets. He gave me a ticket to the suite. He said, come on up with us. It'll be great Monday night. And he also made some points about what he should do. He has some season tickets and what he should do situationally with a hedge. And it's amazing how guys that are ticket holders to go to the game
yeah.
are now getting in the betting market, even if they didn't bet.
Right.
Getting in the bet. Like just like Ian's friend said, I have season tickets. I'm not a bettor. I don't know what to do. Can you help me out? You know, what should I do?
You're right, though. That's an interesting development.
I never thought of it. Well, it's so much money involved.
Well, because I'm just thinking, again, I always use my buddy Tommy in D.C. as like the everyman. When he had Caps tickets, right, Capitals season tickets, never occurred to him to bet around his position with his tickets, right?
Yeah.
He would just simply go on a secondary market and try to sell them, right?
Right.
But
right.
Now it's a whole new world of doing that.
I laughed when I read that because I read it for the first time on air.
Yeah.
30,000. Did he say per ticket? Is that
he
what
did.
He said?
I believe he did say it. For the basketball game, that's probably true.
Per ticket.
Yeah. But you're right. He may have answered his own question. Of course, with anything like that, you just have to determine for yourself what is it that you want to lock in.
Right.
And so that's about as reasonable a one as suggestion as any.
Huh. And what were you saying about the fans at the game yesterday?
Will Hill said this.
Will Hill said it.
We were talking about off air.
It's a good point.
Will Hill, because you looked over at the screen yeah. here, and they're showing Seinfeld, they're showing Larry David, they're showing all the celebs in yeah. Madison Square Garden. Will Hill said yesterday, which I thought was a very good point, which I don't want to get lost, which was, he said, you know, imagine these celebrities that fill all these great seats. Imagine how much even more rowdier it would be, or how much more fan support it would be for the home team. It was actually every man was there, right? The normal folk who would
right.
want Knicks season tickets. But, you know.
They had a watch party. I think it was Central Park that kept on showing back and
yes,
forth.
Yes, yes.
And that's the real hardcore fans.
Yeah.
You know, that's a shame but it's every single sport. It's a Super Bowl. It's the NBA Finals. It's even the NHL Finals. The cheapest ticket to the Golden Knights game was $1,200 the other night. I thought that was a lot of money for. I know it's a Stanley Cup. It is a championship, but they price the locals out. They price the local unless you buy. You know, I think it works if you buy season tickets. You have first right to that season ticket for the. But people can't afford season tickets to anything. I mean, you know, a lot of people can't afford season tickets. Yeah. So I know someone that gave up his tickets this year for the Golden Knights. He just said it was ridiculous. He has two seats. It was the season tickets were way too much money.
And they're good. Imagine if they started stinking. Like,
right.
I mean, I'll take the Skins in D.C. As soon as, you know, there was a waiting list for decades at RFK, right?
Yep.
They moved to FedEx Field. Team started to suck. Owner despised. There were so many. These were jewels. These were treasures that were passed down in wills in generations in D.C.
That's right.
And now, and then it was
Masters
like, and
tickets.
Then everybody's like, let's get rid of them. These are worthless.
That has to be number one, Masters. Masters tickets. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
In this last segment, if we get it in, if we can't do it, we can do it next week. I have a really, I have a whole story here of
let's
why.
Do it.
Well, yeah, why it's so hard to be a professional gambler in 2026.
We will do that for sure. On the other side, his name is Bill Krakenberger, at Bill Crackman with a K on Twitter. Name of the podcast is Wisecracks, which he does with John Orlando. Which lately on the podcast, he's just knocking down John for his World Series of Poker behavior. We love John. Bill.
He's an admitted degen, so he's actually good show.
Coming back on a numbers game.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on the numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, Gil Alexander, Bill Krakenberger on side. Bill Crackman with a K on Twitter. We get tweet speed in the book. Bobby Geddes Sorry if you already mentioned this one, but how is this possible? The Knicks time with the lead in regulation by game. Game one, they led for 2 minutes and 12 seconds. They won. Game two, he said 0 minutes and 0 seconds. Had to be 10 seconds at the end, wasn't it? Win. Game three, they led for 16 minutes and 25 seconds. That's the one they lost. And then game four last night, they led for 54 seconds and they won. How is that possible, he says. Bobby, I'm still trying to figure that out myself. Our buddy Keno Walker, good morning, fellas. Being betters at heart, would either one of you have worked inside the commission during the Prohibition era? What a question.
There you go.
Wow, Rando.
Keno, my main man.
Yep. No answer, I see. Patrick Kelly. Patrick Kelly, when you buy with dollars instead of a limit, make sure you look at the average price under the to win. Jack Olick, well, we'll get back to a poly market. I want to show the World Cup here momentarily. Jack Olickwire, Gillen Crack. Lori and I took your advice and watched True Romance the other night. What a great Tarantino movie with a fantastic cast. Thanks for the tip.
Great deal.
Nick G agrees with me. Scooble coming back to the rotation. Oh, he's asking, is he worth a look at 30-1 for AL Cy? Yeah, Nick, in case you missed it, it's a bet on the Tigers to get back in this. They're 8.5 back. They've played terribly, but they're playing better baseball now. But if they're still 8.5 back or more, the Tigers aren't going for it. They're going to sell, and Scooble could be gone. So you're really betting on the Tigers to get back in it so that Detroit's brass says to themselves, oh, we could actually get to the playoffs in this fakakta division. They might not use that word, but you know what I mean.
Uh-huh.
Greg Nersessian, I've wanted to say this for a long time. Bill Krakenberger's weekly appearance on your show is without a doubt the best radio anywhere.
Oh, that's nice.
By the way, the aura of the World Series of Poker is so immense that suckers like me don't mind paying the exorbitant rake.
I like the honesty.
He cops to it, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Greg. iHeart SEC Podcast. Thank you, Greg. That was very nice. iHeart SEC Podcast. I learned a smart strategy from the Prez on prediction markets. When you get these long odds like USA to win, you just need them to advance deep and take a good cash out. Made 500 off 100 on Knicks just getting to the finals. Yeah, a lot of people use the cash out much more liberally in the prediction markets. Tony Hernandez, Gil, I saw a VIP list on X last night after the game. Why are celebrities given better seats than some listed as Knicks alumni? You know, most of these VIPs are not fans.
I agree with him. Absolutely right.
Let me show one more. We're just talking about how NBA MVP, Finals MVP at 2 million in volume here, and then Conn Smythe had 700,000. Can I interest you to win the World Cup? How does $2 billion grab you?
$2 billion
highlighted there by the great Danny Higgins.
So that means they have $2 billion in accounts funded to...
There is a bit of difference with math handle.
Okay.
But it is still an exorbitant amount of money.
That's unbelievable.
Spain 17%, France 16%, Portugal 12%, by the way, if you're scoring at home. That's Polymarket. By the way, you see this is in real time. You can see the bets coming in there on the left. So...
Is that graph? Is that the current bets? Yep. Is that what that is?
Yep. So every bet is assigned a color, and then you can see their action over time. Yeah, wow. Man.
I didn't know there was that kind of money involved.
Oh,
I know that, of course, soccer and, of course, the World Cup is giant volume.
Giant,
the biggest betting around in the world.
But like the NFL, any game in the NFL, like especially the standalones,
yep.
It just destroys what our previous notion was of handle.
Yep.
Because a lot of these Wall Street types are trading it constantly. By the way, not sharp either in many cases.
Right, right.
But anyway, you have your story here?
I don't know if I can get it in. I'll try to.
Okay.
All right. So for months, I seen this back in April. Joey Tunes on Twitter tweeted this. I want to read this out. This has been the toughest year I've seen in 25 years, especially when it comes to getting PPH accounts. It's a mix of everything hitting at once, regulation, the rise of prediction markets, the books having way more tech to identify bots, patterns, and sharp action. It's not that they're better. It's that they're faster and more automated in how they flag you. On top of that, a lot of these books aren't honorable anymore. And that was going to be my point. There's no real accountability, so they limit, stall, or flat out don't pay, and nothing happens. Well, the offshore space has changed too. After being consolidated by places like Buckeye and Metallic, you're seeing fewer outs, fewer options, tighter and more uniform lines. What we're always taught, line shopping, finding the best number, that edge has basically disappeared. If you're betting into the legal markets and you're taking the best number they offer, you're getting thrown out. And the PPH world, that's paperhead, that's the local guys, for people that don't know what that means, It's smaller than it's ever been, and getting accounts is harder than ever. The one bright spot is the newer books that have come up over the last few years, and you mentioned some of the books that are on the screen, Amapola, Bet War, Paradise. They actually operate like real sports books again. They take action, respect sharp play, and move their numbers instead of just shutting you down. If you don't have access to accounts there, get on the horn. Okay, I'm not here to promote any books. So that's how it used to be, though. Books would take a hit, adjust, and keep dealing. There are still a few mainstays that operate that way, but overall, it's just not the same. Looking back, you realize how good it really was. I agree with him 100%. It's so tough to be a pro gambler today. Now, first of all, this is as far as getting accounts, and when you were, you cannot be a professional. You can't call yourself a professional sports bettor just betting with the casinos, because you can't get the volume down to make a living in those smaller markets. So you need those per head accounts. And it's now, though, you have an industry that every, you can go to any poker game, especially during the World Series, you're going to find a bookmaker at almost every table, or a so-called bookmaker. They think they're bookmakers. And, you know, the kids that are poker players talking about sports betting in the games, and all of a sudden, you know, someone says, wow, I could be a bookie, and I know these PPH places, and I can get in a couple accounts and give them to these guys. These guys are plugs. They're easy to beat. But, you know, the first of all, the public is allowed to go on runs. Bookmakers, automatically, bookmakers, they just think it's a cash cow. If the public wins, if you win, you could take Joe Public betting every NBA playoff game and every NHL playoff game, and they get lucky and go 8-1. And you get thrown out.
Limit.
You get limited or thrown out. This guy's doing something.
Yeah.
You know, I have had bookmakers in the past call me and say, hey, Crack, you know, I have these guys. This is from back east. This is years ago, too. And I can't tell you the amount of times I would say, they just got lucky. They laid 121. Yeah. They could have laid 116 out here. They could have laid 115. You know, they just feel that they've won so much money off people, and they don't even look at the history of the account. And guess what? Some of these books, like DraftKings, do this. They don't even look at the history and say, well, this guy loses $28,000 last year and $35,000 the year before on NFL, and he won $5,000 on the tennis. Yeah, let's get rid of him.
That's
like they don't even realize they're such short sighting. I'm not just blaming these guys that are wannabe bookmakers. I'm talking about some of the big books. And I'm not saying it always happens. And there are some great I know some guys at DraftKings that work there, fantastic traders. But there's other ones that just are insecure, and they just, you know, they're making $60,000-$70,000 a year, and they just say, hey, no one's winning on my shift.
We've talked about it before. The profiling of bettors from legalized sportsbooks versus the offshore, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
You're right. First of all, they're not even curious about the nature of the bets often. They just see the bottom line. And you're right. Sometimes it's in the history that they suck, and they still don't even look at that. And they still limit, which in effect is a ban, if they limit you enough.
Right.
It's an incredible thing. The amount of money they're leaving on the table with some of those decisions is an incredible thing.
It is. And what that tweet was also saying was talking more about the local guys and the PPH accounts. It's amazing. You know, when you have someone like me, and I don't even get them anymore. I don't get them because no one pays. I don't get them. So let me be blunt. What someone like me does, you know, or something like someone like me used to do, I don't even deal with it anymore. We don't even play under our own name. So now I'll try to find a losing gambler and share their accounts with them. Now, that means either one of two. That can come in the form of getting our own account from the same bookmaker or bookie, or even sharing their same account where – just keep track of your own bets. It gets a little hard to do, though. Keep track of your own bets. It can be an accounting nightmare if someone's a degen, but it definitely makes the account last longer. They're putting in square losing bets, and I'm going to try to sneak in my NBA props, NFL props, things that I know that have a higher percentage of win volume. But the headaches you get with it, you know, you have to lay groundwork down, and almost nobody sticks to it. You have to say, hey, if you don't, I'm never going to tell you my partners didn't pay. You're never going to tell me your bookmaker didn't pay. You're staying responsible. They still don't pay. So this is the reasons why Spanky does it right. And he puts this right out there on Twitter. If you want to give him accounts, you're posting with him. You're posting the win with him. Even though it's a credit account, if you want advantage plays in your account, not only do you have to guarantee it, you're paying him up front. It's very hard for people to do. But anyway, I just thought I'd talk about that and the skill set you need to be a pro gambler. And like Alan Ball will be the first one to say it. He's advantage in college basketball, but he blows it in tennis or baseball. You know, there's so many skill sets: drinking, drugs, gambling on things. Idle mind is a devil's playground. Okay, I've said enough.
Bill Krakenberger, beautifully done. At Bill Crackman with a K, name of the podcast is Wisecracks. We've done all we can do. Prop Points is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.